Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is April 30th. Oh my gosh, April's almost over. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by Nicole Thomas, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle Information Sales and Services. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hey, Michael. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's Friday, and yes. For many of the listeners out there, they attended our virtual spring seminar earlier in the week, and so
which was awesome.
That's it was a lot of fun, and hope everybody got some good information on that. And next year we're going to look forward to actually being in Chicago, hopefully, and seeing everybody face to face.
Yes, and we got to talk about our favorite music artist, so that was an added bonus.
That's right. And those IQ subscribers, you know, if you didn't get all those presentations, we're going to have those up on the IQ platform. So, check it out later. And if you're not a subscriber, give us a call. We'll set you up.
And I forgot one of my favorite bands, and I felt kind of bad after. I shouldn't have left them out. Well, I mean, we were talking about, kind of like 80s, 90s. So, those were the folks that came to mind for me then. But then I'm like, right up there with Nine Inch Nails and A Tribe Called Quest for me is Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, yes. A very good one. I've never saw them live, but
I have. And okay. It was good.
There you go.
It was great. Yeah. They're with Nine Inch Nails.
Yes.
Go figure. See how that works?
There you go.
We'll get these people to pay us for promotional efforts because, neither band has probably been referenced in a public forum.
That's right. Yeah.
For 10 years.
Old
so,
Trent. We just gave you a plug.
When it's trending on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
We deserve some of the credit for that.
Well, I thought today we would talk a little bit about soybeans. I think that that's a pretty hot topic for many of the listeners out there. So, does that sound fair?
I think that's fair. I think a lot of people are interested in what's going on in that market right now. So, perfect.
Let's do it. So, the floor is yours.
Let's see. Let's talk about what's going on now. And, it's funny. We do these podcasts and usually I at least come into them with something in mind and what I want to discuss. And these days, it's harder to do. Like before we even start the podcast, I have to take a look at the quote board and see where we're at. Because, yesterday we were seeing a nice little sell-off and starting to get a little liquidation, a little bit of pressure on prices. And then I open the quote board and I see that May soybeans are up 20 cents, almost 21 cents.
Oh my gosh.
July beans are up 22 and a half cents. And then, I almost hate to say it because I feel like I depress soybean oil users every time they hear my voice. But we're almost up a penny on the nearby for bean oil and almost 2.5 cents for July bean oil.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I mean, what we saw this past week was the May contract successfully break 70 cents per pound. Now, it fell shortly thereafter, which can, be a quasi-positive technical indicator from a buyer's perspective anyway, because it usually means the market's like, we're not quite ready to get there. But I would not be surprised if in the next few weeks we actually do. Because I do see that 70 cents as sort of both a psychological and a technical barrier. And we're going in, back in history. We got to go back to 2013, 2014 to get the prices remotely close to this. And even then, we weren't able to kind of sustain that strength. But based off of the fundamentals, I think we may actually see us get above there and maybe hang out above the 70s. And, we were talking about this subject back in March, and we were probably 15 cents a pound cheaper at that point. So that's the type of volatility we're experiencing right now. And that's likely to continue as long as that balance sheet for soybeans remains tight. And we could, you know, we might see a little bit of the of a loosening, if not for this marketing year, for next marketing year. A couple of things to keep an eye on. Number one, as far as the current marketing year is concerned, we are seeing, believe it or not, imports of soybeans into the U.S. There was a article out just a couple of days ago, I think, maybe yesterday, that Purdue imported some soy from Brazil, getting it into the Southeast market, a little more than 31,000 metric tons, which is more than we typically import in in an entire marketing year. And that may be step one, because I think in general, when you look at soybean ending stocks, we're probably, you know, below that 100 million bushels, excluding if, you know, we continue to see more of these imports. Obviously, that would help the scenario a little bit. But the adjustments made in the last report were more of a kind of playing around with that residual category, and we don't have any more room there. So strong exports. Crush still pretty strong. Maybe we get a little bit of a pullback there, especially if they're having a hard time getting a hold of beans. But ultimately, we're tight this year. Now, what may occur leading into next year is we need this acreage report at the end of June to confirm or deny that we're below 88 million acres on beans. Kind of the bad news is the weather's been a little up and down, positive and negative. So it's been a little bit of a late, initially was an early start, got some cold weather come through, probably had a little replanting. We had wet weather in the Delta slowing things. So obviously the pace at which this gets done is going to be a determining factor for that. And because of that, we may not necessarily see that increase in the June report, because those surveys are conducted at the beginning of the month or completed at the beginning of the month. So in that sense, we may not, you know, get exactly what we're looking for at that point, at least via that report. However, with soybean prices and the new crop now over 13 cents a bushel, potentially, you know, pushing towards 14 at some point before this is all said and done, especially if we maintain this volatility, then, you know, you got to think that's a strong incentive for farmers to plant as much as they possibly can. And as time goes on, hopefully we have a good production season and we can at least get a little pressure in this market. But as we've talked about before, this is a 2-year cycle sort of scenario. So we're going to stay at elevated prices. It's just a matter of elevated is, you know, 13 to 14 or 15 to 16. So let's hope for the best.
Yeah.
And then as far as the commercial market is concerned for soybean oil, obviously that's nuts too. We have literally been watching basis values for crude soybean oil double like every 7 to 10 days. It's unbelievable. So if you are looking, for instance, at the Western region, which historically has been the weakest region for crude soybean oil basis, they're trading at last check at plus 2,000, not plus 200, plus 2,000.
Did you say 2,000?
I said 2,000, which means 20 cents over the board. Now, nearby is trading at about 67 cents. So you're talking about spot soybean oil, if you can find it, near 90 cents a pound right now. Wow. And that's, you know, that's the FOB price. Throw in some freight, you're over a buck a pound for soybean oil. And, you know, I'm not quite at 20 years experience, pretty darn close, but I've never seen anything like that. And the basis is a little weaker elsewhere. But they're all, you know, they're all double digit at this point. And unfortunately, that is the scenario I foresee for the rest of this marketing year, potentially going into the end of this year, considering, you know, a lot of folks are taking coverage and depending on, you know, when harvest takes place and how quickly they get going, we're probably going to be into 2022 before we can see any significant price relief. Wow. And even then, you know, the supporting factor for all of this is the demand draw from renewable diesel, and that's not going away. So in that sense, we're probably in for, you know, historically high, and that seems like selling it short. Because, you know, if we were having this conversation 2 years ago, historically high was, oh, we're near 50 cents a pound. But right. Is some incredibly strong prices, and not just for soybean oil. You know, the old saying goes, a rising tide lifts all ships. And in this case, right. That's the entire edible oils complex. So that's what we're facing, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Do you have some good news for us?
It's Friday.
It is Friday. And I'll mention for our paid subscribers, we're going to have a part two, correct, Nicole?
Yes, yes, we are.
Dive a little bit more into the commercial side. So paid subscribers, stick around. We're going to continue the conversation and talk a little bit further. But for everybody else, Nicole, do we have anything else, or shall we let people go on with their weekend?
I think we're ready for the weekend.
We're ready for the weekend.
We're ready for the weekend. Let's take a little time off.
We're going to wrap this one up. And as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Be grateful that you even have soybean oil.
Right. Regardless of how much you're paying for it, be grateful you have a contract.
Yes, exactly. And until next week, take care, everybody.
See ya.
Bye now. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.